It's rush hour, and you're heading home after a long day. Now the question becomes, what are you going to pick up for dinner? Ben Quiddle tells you what you should pick up and also gives you the latest news that's cooking with BYU Sports in What's Cooking with the Cougars here on ESPN 960.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com studio. Stop living with ED, live without it today at Wasatch Medical Clinic, WasatchMedicalClinic.com. It is time for What's Cooking with the Cougars. Always brought to you by Fat Daddy's, Fat Daddy's Pizzeria, FatDaddy'sPizzeria.com. Gurney, do you want to take the read on this?
Shoot.
You got me.
No, I'm just saying, like, what do you like about Fat Daddy? Oh, and then I'll give you my read.
I thought you were...
The Fat Daddies.
Yeah, I love the Fat Daddies.
Do you have any sound bites for us, Bryce?
No.
The Fat Daddies?
Stop it with the... No.
No?
No, he doesn't have any sound
bites. We're at Fat Daddy's Pizza. Best pizza in the world.
All right. What do you like about Fat Daddies? Then I'll do my read.
I love everything about Fat Daddies. It's like a different tier of pizza. I almost don't want to call it pizza because when you think pizza, you think just Papa John's, which is fine and all that. But it's elevated. It's so much better. And I know there's kind of a stigma for going to strip mall restaurants, right? Go to this one. Just opened in Orem.
Yes, yes.
Right by the Smiths. You will not be disappointed.
93 South State Street.
And you will be back. Love the Fat Daddies.
Pizza's perfect for any occasion. Oh, my goodness. That was pretty good. That was good. Family time, tailgates, watch party celebrations, and more. But only Fat Daddy's has the one-of-a-kind 24-inch size pizzas, the Fat Daddy Pizza. Now offering gelato at both locations. Mention ESPN 960 for 8 free garlic knots. Pizza made right, New York City style. FatDaddy'sPizzeria.com. Let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in to the show, Kevin Reynolds of the Salt Lake Tribune, to find out what's cooking with the Cougars. What's up, Kev?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good, man. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing, man? Give us updates. How's the basketball season treating you? How's the off-season recruiting season treating you?
It's good. I mean, you know, I feel like especially once we hit the month of February, it's kind of that lull right before March Madness and then right before spring practice as well for football. So we're kind of in this moment right now where we can kind of take a breath and really take stock of where BYU's at. So I kind of enjoyed these type of months. You know, we don't get them a lot, and I don't, like, wish for a lot of them to happen, right? But at the same time, it is good to just kind of take a step back and really kind of look at the bigger picture of things that we don't always get to do, you know, in September, you know, through pretty much now, right? And that's kind of how the calendar works at this point.
What's been the hottest story that you've published recently via the Salt Lake Tribune?
Yeah, I think we've done some things in this offseason of kind of looking at the big picture of where the transfer portal has been for BYU as we have a break in between the transfer portal windows that I thought was kind of interesting. And I think just it's kind of those type of stories that I look for right now in just taking where BYU was at the end of the bowl game and how they built this roster and where they're kind of thinking they need to improve, and I think we can kind of see that heading into the Big 12 of where BYU and the coaching staff really feels like they need to plug the most holes, right? Because I think that's where you see the position groups that are prioritized in the transfer portal window, especially the first one, right? Because it's like the longest one; it's a 45-day period, and also you just human nature wise, and you see every program does it. You address the most immediate needs first, and so that activity, I think, over December, right after that, well, I guess before and right after the bowl game, is really where I think coaches can say with you know, action, not just words, of what they actually think of where their program's at and where they actually believe the most work needs to be done.
Kevin Reynolds, Salt Lake Tribune here on ESPN 960. I recapped the signing class with Casey Lundquist. And I like the signing class. I think it's a solid signing class. You're looking at return missionaries, the transfer portal, the freshmen. I think they got a decent class. Could have been better? Sure, it could have been better. But overall, it was good. Is this roster, in your opinion, your vantage point, is this roster good enough to compete and get bowl eligible in the Big 12 first year one?
Yeah, I think a lot of people view kind of the top end of the first year as six wins, right? Like maybe seven, right? Like maybe that's pushing it, but like six wins is probably the top end of where this BYU team could end up next year. And I think what we're really going to see is, I don't necessarily believe, like we've talked about in a lot of different seasons, right? But especially this one, I don't necessarily believe that the top end guys are what's going to be able to really determine whether BYU is able to get to a bowl game year one. I think it's going to be the depth down, like guys, you know, coming in and maybe who haven't played a ton or we haven't talked about a lot. Those are the guys that I think are going to either determine whether BYU is going to be bowl eligible or not this year. And it's not necessarily different, but it's just going to be more highlighted than years past in the Power Five, where I think you look at the month of November, like let's just take the month of November from last year and then take the month of November from this year, like or this upcoming season. Last year you had Utah Tech on you had a bye week, you had Utah Tech sprinkled in there, a Stanford team that was probably down, but I still think was probably a pretty good win for the program anyway. But now you're trading in the Utah Techs of the world as your senior day last year for Oklahoma. And you could say whatever you want about Oklahoma and how their season was last year, but top to bottom, it is a team that competes in the Power Five consistently, and they have the depth even on down years, right? So I think the difference for when we look at the signing class and these transfer portal additions, I think a lot of the time we get caught up maybe in, you know, the top guys, you know, the Keaton Slovises and the Aiden Robbins of the world. Yes, they're going to make a big difference, but ultimately, like, when you've gone through the grind and you're in November, because I think that's kind of where your BYU is going to have to maybe steal a game or two to probably get to six wins in this year one. At that point, who do you have playing, and are those guys able to compete at the Big 12 level consistently? I think I don't really know if we have a definitive answer on that, but it's always to me kind of interesting because, you know, I am guilty of it too. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about how Keaton Slovis is going to fill in, but I think to get to six wins, it's not just going to be Keaton Slovis's of the world that get BYU there.
Let's get into some of the news and notes of the day. You attended SMU. Brett McMurphy of the Action Network tweets out, Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff visited SMU Wednesday and San Diego State. And San Diego State in December, I think, were those when those discussions were occurring. San Diego State and SMU are at the top of the Pac-12 expansion candidates list. The Pac-12 needs more members and more inventory for a new media rights deal, which is expected to rely heavily on digital streaming services. Give me your overall thoughts on the target of SMU for the Pac-12. It looks like they're in their crosshairs.
Yeah, it's kind of weird for me, right? You know, like, obviously I don't talk to as many people at SMU as I once did, but at the same time, like, everybody, all the conversations that I've had over the last 24 hours with people from over there, right? Like, there's the line I was given is you know, cautiously optimistic and things like that, right? Like, that's kind of the general sentiment I've gotten, you know, from people at SMU. But and I'm not reporting anything. These are just conversations I've had with people that I've known over there, right? But, like, at the same time, like, SMU is a school, for me, you know, just being around it, it's a school that's kind of wanted and been on the outskirts of the Power Five discussion for so long. And I think you're obviously going to hear a lot about how the Pac-12 can maybe get more inventory for a potential media rights deal in the future, and how, you know, expanding into the Texas area and the Dallas area in particular would be good. But I still think, like, again, I haven't been there in over a year now, and I haven't covered that team for over a year now. But at the same time, like, the thing that always stands out to me is, like, for so long, SMU is trying to try to build up the infrastructure to be Power Five ready. And I don't necessarily know if it is at this point yet. Will actually being in the Pac-12 kind of expedite that process? Maybe. We'll see. But it's kind of been this long time coming where SMU's tried to kind of flirt with the Big 12 at different points. And we've seen certain coaches leave and go, maybe a little bit definitely influenced by them not being in a Power Five conference. So I think it's interesting that he's going to be there. My understanding is he'll also be at the SMU versus Temple basketball game tonight, and has spent pretty much the entire day on campus in Dallas. So, my initial thought, those are kind of my initial thoughts of, I think from SMU's perspective, this is something they really want. I still think that SMU has a long way to go to be truly Power Five ready. in a lot of different aspects of their athletic department.
What's crazy to BYU fans is the fact that BYU was passed up on because of not being an R1 resource institution, being a religious institution, maybe other things as well. But SMU is neither of those things. Yet it sounds like they've changed their standards in 2023. So I just found it interesting that that's the move. You got to sacrifice, I guess, certain things in order to continue to stay. I don't know, to stay viable, to stay sustainable as a business within this college athletics business world.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. And like for SMU, I know they're not really affiliated at all with the Methodist Church anymore on that aspect of it, and haven't been since I think 2019 or at least since I was there. But you're right. Like it is a weird move for the Pac-12. Like I don't disagree with that. And I also think it's kind of like for so long, I don't think SMU to the Pac-12 really made a lot of sense. And I think that was the general sentiment, right? If any of the Power Five conferences were expanding, I don't think the Pac-12 for the last decade or so would probably be the number one thing that you would associate with SMU. But at the same time, things change. And, it's one of those things where, in conference realignment, we've seen a lot of things not make 100% amount of sense, right? Like when conferences are scrambling, we've seen that since Texas and OU left the Big 12, and then, the dominoes fall there. And then, USC and UCLA as well. And we're still seeing the kind of aftershocks of that. And I think when you're in aftershocks, it's kind of chaos. And when you're in chaos, I don't think it's necessarily a one-to-one thing of we need all these requirements. Doesn't really work like that when things are moving fast.
Kevin Reynolds here on ESPN 960 discussing all the news and notes of the day. Always brought to you by Fat Daddy's, fatdaddyspizzeria.com. Give me your thoughts on this, the coaching clinic. Ken Niumatalolo coming to town coaching. He's available as an analyst, as a coach. What's the probability of trying to retain Kenny as an analyst this year, or as in some role within the athletic department?
I think it would be interesting, right? Like there is some interest, but my first question that I really have when that topic comes up is, does he want to do it? This is not a guy who necessarily needs to take on an analyst role. Like he doesn't really, if you want to get into like what role would he really take? I'm not really sure. He's been the head coach for so long. I don't think he necessarily, it's not like he's in the position right now where I think he can take the job that he wants and he can be around the program and he can contribute as much as he wants without a formal title, or at least, have his own thoughts and ideas and obviously do things like this where he's in the coaching clinic and things like that. So I think it probably, my first question when that topic comes up for sure does he want to do it? And is there mutual interest on his end as well?
Yeah, I don't know. He's going to be – I'm sure he's going to get asked that question at the coaches' clinic. Every coach that's there, every high school coach, BYU, you're going to stick around? You're going to stick around the state? I'm sure it'll come up in those conversations. So we'll see what happens. Kevin Reynolds here on ESPN 960. A couple other things I want to get to. Well, actually, let me take a step back. Kevin, what have you been working on? What have you published recently? And what are you going to be working on here shortly that we can look forward to?
Yeah, I think we're going to get we're getting started over here, revving up for some spring practice for sure. Obviously, the All-Star Game has been a thing for us recently that we're getting ready for. It's kind of an all-hands-on-deck situation. Even though I cover, BYU, right? I work on other things and some Utah State stuff too, that we're excited about, as that program kind of gets ready for March, and basketball in particular. So I think that's some stuff that I've been working on personally and we're getting ready for, but I'm also still getting ready for, BYU football, coming up and the stretch run here of basketball as well, of whether this team can can legitimately cobble together some wins, because you look down the stretch of that calendar and it's Santa Clara and San Francisco and Gonzaga and St. Mary's, and I know they got Pepperdine too, but at the same time, just kind of a gauntlet down the stretch to potentially make an NIT run or get into the NIT, right? Like, these are all things. And also with this team, I've always said it, like, this year, like, it's more about how much this team can kind of preserve and grow into the future, and how much growth you can capture in these last couple weeks of the regular season versus also keeping everybody healthy, as particularly these young guys, right? Keeping them healthy and not having them take a step back from potentially getting injured from playing so much down the stretch, because this is a program that hasn't really taken a lot of off days, particularly even in the month of February, just like practice off days where you're just shooting for 20 minutes. Like, that's kind of the typical norm at this point in the season for a lot of college basketball teams, not something BYU has done to try to get as much growth as possible. So it's a real trade-off between trying to capture this like unique moment in time for this basketball team where you have a lot of young guys and you want to get ready as much as possible for the Big 12, but also not getting anybody injured like Dallin Hall or Richie Saunders, right? And potentially setting them back, you know, months and months and months behind where they're currently at and have worked through. So those are some of the topics that I think I'm thinking of over the next couple of weeks and have been working on a little bit.
Love it. Kev, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hopping on. Let us know if you need anything from us. We'll see you in spring ball here shortly.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. We'll get it going soon. So appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Kevin Reynolds, ladies and gentlemen. All right, some of the other news and notes of the day. Jaren Hall, Puka Nacua, Blake Freeland have all been invited to the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. They are 3 of 319 invites. The BYU football staff will be hosting a coaches clinic on March 23, 2023. This clinic is open to all high school football coaches and will also feature longtime college head football coach Kenny Neomotololo. It's from 8 a.m. to noon, $30 per coach. You going to show up, G-Man?
He's featured prominently on that poster. Huh?
I'm telling you.
Wow, look at that necklace he has. Holy cow.
Telling you. BYU football recruiting, from the 2025 BYU commit list, Will Walker, has received his 5-star rating. He's one of the best kickers in the country. Could try to get him on the show. He's got a boot. He's like, he's Ryan Rico. He's going to be Ryan Rico. He's like 6'5", 190 right now. Can boot it. Kicker, punter, extraordinaire. I tell you what, the bane of the Bronco era, you know what it was?
Kicking.
Oh, yeah. Long snapping.
Oh, yeah.
It really was. Yeah. I mean, what would you say is the bane of the Bronco era? What do you think? Like, if you ask Cougar Nation, what was the bane of the Bronco
Not era? Getting guys to the NFL.
That was the bane of the Bronco era.
That's what bug fans the most. My people.
On the field.
My people.
On the field, though.
On the field.
But I like that. That's a good take. I think the fifth, football's fifth, combined with not getting guys to the NFL.
Yeah, that really bothered guys. But yeah, the kicking game, and it's so ridiculous that BYU can't get a good kicker. We thought we had it in the gold droid who just, I don't know what
He's
happened.
He's the all-time leading score.
Well, I know, but that kind of is a commentary in and of itself.
He didn't hit the climax like he should have.
So, yeah, get a kicker already. Come on. And I always blame Moose Bingham when BYU doesn't have a good kicker. So
I'm pretty sure the kickers out of the last 10 years were all recruited, developed by Moose Bingham. Every single one of them the last 10 years.
I do too.
And I don't think anyone's going to give him credit for it either. But we'll give him credit.
Yeah. We love Moose.
Like, he's been, like, Ian Sanchez, he's commitment. He's committed. Will Walker. Both those guys are Moose Bingham guys, too.
Yeah.
Now, is it all Moose Bingham? No, they're at the Sailor Kicking. Like, the Chris Sailor's a great evaluator and I would say, a great developer of kicking and punting. But still, Moose needs some love. Pac-12 expansion with San Diego State SMU may be necessary before the league inks new media deal rights. The Aztecs and Mustangs are in the Pac-12 sights as their top expansion contenders, per Dennis Dodd and many others.
Imagine reading that headline two years ago. Imagine suggesting that to any U fan and their reaction.
I mean, I'm a big fan of adding San Diego State to the Big 12. Like, I would love to, like, if I had my... No. If I had my druthers, I want – I do. I mean, I want San Diego State. I want a reason to go to San Diego, G-Man.
All right. There you go.
No, they have a good program.
There it is.
No. And I think there's potential there. I really like the potential there. San Diego State, Colorado, right? Those two.
Get Colorado to come back. No, don't forget Colorado. I don't want Colorado.
ASU.
Get them out of here.
And yeah. U of A.
Yeah, I like that.
Those four.
No, but not Colorado. Find me someone else beside Colorado.
There's nobody else. Utah's not.
There has to be
someone
else.
We already have the Utah market.
Then just the Arizona schools. I want nothing to do with Colorado.
San Diego State.
Well, they have primetime now.
San Diego State, Boise State, ASU, U of A. Done. No?
Whatever.
You want Utah, don't you?
As much as I like that it just sticks in Utah's craw.
No, we're petty.
Right?
Petty. We need to be petty. They've been petty for too long.
It's such a good rivalry. And come on, just get over yourself and just join BYU. You're joined at the hip. You need to be joined at the hip. Come on back. You're accepted.
All right, other news. All right, well, let me break this down. I noticed this a few weeks ago. We really didn't talk about it, but I love the path that Braden Kearsley has taken to himself back to Provo.
It's fantastic.
He's an offensive line GA at BYU. How cool is that?
That's awesome. Good for Braden.
You covered Braden's recruitment.
Oh, was that a wild recruitment?
What do you mean?
Well, there was some stuff.
What type of stuff?
Well, it was a last-minute thing. Everyone thought he'd go to Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Then he saw Robert and I come in, and it's like, yeah, I'm coming to BYU. So, amongst maybe some other things, but anyway. Just leave it at that.
I love it, man. I'm excited for Braden. I am super excited for Braden. You need some former offensive linemen in that room that want to be great coaches. So, yeah. Being a GA, I love that he's back in Provo. All right. BYU basketball news. BYU hits the road for the first time in 2 weeks when the Cougars travel to Malibu, California on Thursday, February 9th to take on Pepperdine and tip is scheduled for 7 p.m. at Firestone Fieldhouse. Thursday's contest will be broadcast on CBS Sports Network. Greg Rubel, Mark Durant will be on the call. BYU baseball news. Orem High School catcher Sawyer Slade just committed to BYU. He'll join the roster after a mission. And they just dropped their season preview. This BYU men's baseball team. Hopefully they're on the rise.
The Batcats.
That's right. We can call them the Batcats now. Mike Littlewood didn't like
the
Batcats.
No, he didn't like
Cats.
That.
He did not like
I like the Batcats, though.
I'll have to ask the new coaching staff.
I have to ask permission.
Yeah. Women's basketball. They're 12-11 right now, just above 500. They're going to get against Pepperdine, 7-16, struggling a little bit. Thursday, February 9th, 7 p.m. Mountain Time at the Marriott Center. Check it out live at the Marriott Center, or you can watch on the television on BYU TV. And then also Saturday, they're facing off against LMU. Another chance to get a W, LMU 6-18, 2 p.m. Mountain Time Marriott Center. Men's tennis, BYU men's tennis returns to the action this week with two matches, the second of which will be the team's first road contest of the year. The Cougars are 1-1. They host New Mexico on Thursday, February 9th at 11 a.m. Mountain Time before traveling to in-state foe Utah State on Saturday, February 11th at 12 p.m. Mountain Time. Thursday's home match will be played at the BYU indoor tennis courts. Attendance is free. I just got a text stating Batcats will not be used on any officially licensed BYU merch. I don't know if that's true, but that's just a source telling me that it's a possibility. Now, I'm telling you, Batcats, it's gone. I don't know why.
No one likes the Batcat.
BYU, I mean, well, it's because we hit.
Who sent you that message?
No, I get messages all the time from people. I mean, like, one of my messages that I got is just blowing up. My guy, KN, he's like, I wish we were in the Pac-12. I'm like, you're in the minority here, guy. Like, nobody that I know besides you wants to be in the Pac-12.
He needs to think it through more.
Well, no, he just wants to be competitive. He wants to win games.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't realize is by jumping onto a sinking ship, potentially, is a bad deal. It's not good. Culturally, it's a bad deal. You're going to have way more freaking headaches in the Pac-12 just like interacting with the humans. Like, that is headache after headache after headache. You do not see eye to eye probably on anything. You know what I mean? Like, and they're constantly going to be judging you for things that you didn't even do in the past, but apparently your organization and or church, you know, made mistakes, and that's unforgivable.
Yeah, and also there's a lot more history with BYU and Pac-12 teams. I get that. If fans want to recapture that, that's kind of where I'm at as well, but give it a chance. I think there could be some great things forging with the Big 12. There's a lot of quality programs.
Yeah.
Let them hate you for a bit or for a long time.
No, I hope you're going to be able to get along with the Big 12 fan bases. You just are. I mean, look, I know there's going to be some enmity. You know, there's going to be enmity around the conference eventually. But we're in that honeymoon phase. I'm loving it. You know, just living the dream, that honeymoon phase. Now, most of the fan bases that I've interacted with already hate UCF, just abhor UCF. I think they're going to be the most hated. BYU fans, we're pretty congenial. We're fairly educated. We know how to interact on Twitter in a fun, jovial, tongue-in-cheek way when we are having some fun. Got some good follows with the Boney Fullers, and we know have a good time. We know how to have a good time. Can we be a little bit petty? Sure, we can. Do we have a little bit of an insecurity, kind of like an inferiority complex?
Oh,
sure.
Yeah.
But we also have a superiority complex. So that those two things kind of can be annoying to others. Just ask Ute fans. But I think the Big 12, my guy, you just need to stop. I'll give you the justification. He says BYU essentially doesn't want to win. They don't want to win. Football will always be fifth. You're going to subsidize. You'll continue with the monies that you're bringing in with the television to subsidize and make sure that all your Olympic sports are highly competitive and can win national championships. And those that will suffer are football and basketball. That's how he feels.
Yeah.
Is there validity in that? That's his deeply rooted fear. So
yeah,
anyway,
there is some validity there.
There's validity to it,
there
and
is.
We don't see the books. We don't know. We don't know how the resource allocation is done. So anyway, that's my final thought as I wrap it up. I understand where he's coming from, but still, Big 12 all the way. That's our show. We're sticking to it. Shout out to everyone that joined us. Make sure you download the podcast. Support our sponsors. From all of us here at ESPN 960, we wish you a very good night. Have a safe night. Have a great evening. You've been listening to Cougar Sports.